here, and a group was singing, a real good Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost filled group, and just a family. And I thought I was going to have to pull over on the side of the road and just get right with the Lord, honestly.
Amen.
And I don't know where we get off track sometimes, but we do, you know. And sometimes it's just little by little, and it creeps in, and it, and you know, I was just thinking about how good God's been to me.
Amen.
I mean, He's just been good to me, and the better He is to me, the worse I am to Him. And I just want to apologize to you and to the Lord. And I don't know. I mean, I just, God's just been good to us, and man, I just want to sing this song. And the Lord deserves our praise and our and He deserves the glory, and we all just give Him everything. Amen.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle
Him lately.
Sing that second verse again tonight. And you know, we've all heard that song. I've heard that song for years and years and years, but you never hear it without them words touching you. You know how many people in the world now don't have shoes? Most of them. If you live in America, you're like in the top 6% of the wealthiest people in the world. Think about that. And you know, we all whine about how pitiful we are, and we're starving to death and broke and all. But the truth is, we're in good shape compared to most people. And I tell you, God's been good to us.
Yeah, man.
God's been good to us. If He just let you live in a country where you could have a King James Bible and know the truth, He's been good to you. He's been good to us.
Yeah, man.
We just get spoiled. We're brats. Yes, we're brats. And I know I am. A lot of times, you just take God's blessings for granted. It can be a whole lot worse tonight. We've all got problems, but it could be a whole lot worse. Could be in hell with no hope and no way out and screaming and burning. And know you're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. How'd you like to feel like that? what we ought to be shouting tonight. I want to sing that second verse. I want everybody to stand, and we're going to sing it with them tonight. You do what God tells you to do. If He tells you to go shake somebody's hand, you do it. If He tells you to come to the altar, you do it. If He tells you to jump up and swing on one of them chandeliers, you better make sure He told you to. You just obey God. We're going to stand. We're going to sing that second verse again. I want everybody to sing it with us tonight and worship the Lord. Amen. I mean, worship Him and honor Him and mean these words tonight. Let's sing it with them. Listen, man.
Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these words, they're not new.
Come on now, sing it with us tonight.
Don't have much.
Thank God I got Him.
The Lord, yeah. I have You, and to me that's all that matters.
Let's worship now tonight. Let's just praise Him. Let's praise Him for being so good to us. Amen.
Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings.
All right, everybody, come on. Everybody.
There's a room.
What about that?
Have a good place to sleep. Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your
blessing. Let's do it one more time. Let's do it one more time, just the chords. Just the chords.
There's a roof up above me. Have a good place.
If you got a bed, you got a sleeping bag, you got a pillow,
food
at your house tonight,
table,
you got shoes on your feet,
shoes,
you're a rich person. You're a rich man.
Amen. You gave me Your love, Lord. And if I
thank You for that good song. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles open. You're going to hear a strange message tonight. So you picked a good night to come as we have a strange message. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and then the book of Job, chapter 25. We'll look at tonight a verse of Scripture here. Psalm 22 and then back up one verse there to the book of Job. And we'll show you a verse of Scripture also. Hold your finger there at Psalm 22, and then look at Job 25. You're going to hear a strange subject tonight. You've probably never heard this preached on before. Psalm 22, verse 6. Look here what he said. But I am a worm and no man, prophecy, and a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Here David compared himself to a worm. It's an old, like a fishing worm out there on the ground somewhere. That's about what a man is. Sight of God. Look at Job chapter 25. Job chapter number 25 and verse number 6. How much less man that is a worm? Isn't that something? Here again. And the son of man, which is a worm. Now, I want to preach tonight on that subject, those worms. Make sure I'm up on this just a tad, Mike. Listen tonight. I'm going to preach on some worms in the Bible that I've known. David must have needed help in self-esteem, according to our doctors and our counselors and psychologists today. David really had a problem with self-esteem, didn't he? You know what? If he'd have got on Dr. Phil and said, I'm a worm. Or Job would have said, oh, the son, I'm just nothing but an old worm. They would have said, no, you're not. You've got to believe in yourself. You're better than that. That's what the psychologists and psychiatrists today would tell them. But the truth is, tonight, they said, I'm just a worm. And even the Lord Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. God is so great and glorious that nothing can be likened unto Him. Men are so sorry and low down that He's compared to earth, He's compared to dust, He's compared to grass, He's compared to vanity, and here He's compared to worms. Think about that. Here's what God compares Arnold Schwarzenegger to. Grass, dust, earth, vanity, and a worm. That's what he is in the sight of God. People think they are so tough. You really start thinking you're big and bad and tough. And it don't take much to knock you down. You're just a worm down here on this planet. You say, well, preacher, that's not good. You should tell some people they're really something special. Maybe you're a special worm, but you're still just a worm. Amen? According to the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you a comparison between men and worms tonight. And I want you to learn this Bible lesson, and you follow me along here, and you'll get it. I'm giving you a comparison between men and worms. How many of you have ever went out in the yard somewhere and dug up fishing worms or night crawlers, or you was digging in the garden or planting flowers and just dug it up and there was an old worm? Raise your hand, please. All right, that's everybody's in here. And you just look at them little things. You don't even know which end's which. You can't tell where the head is, where the tail is, and you just, when you bust them open, they're full of dirt. Like if you shovel cuts them in two, all they are is dirt and a few little guts. Well, that's what the Bible compares Madonna to. That's what the Bible said Brad Pitt is. Just a worm in the dirt crawling around down here on this earth. Now tonight, let's look at these, and I'm going to give you... A worm has its origin and its form in the earth. So has man. Right out of the ground, he lives on earth. I said worms live on this earth. They love it and they make their home here. So it is with man. Man loves this world. Men are born here, we live here, and men think this world is all there is. Most people in the world tonight have no thought or concern or plans for eternity. They think the only thing there is now this world, this world, this world, this world. So in that sense, we are much like a worm in our natural state. Not only that, a worm hath no beauty. It's contemptible. And man in his fallen state is of no worth to God. He's a lump of sin. He's pollution. He's rotten. You say, well, I know some people that are really beautiful, beautiful women or handsome men or whatever. Well, there's probably worms that think other worms are pretty too. But to God, they're just, you know, just something you just squash whenever you get tired of looking at it. They're just a worm. You're not near as pretty as you think you are. Your breath stinks. You go 2 or 3 days without a bath, you stink. I mean, you smell bad, you'll turn rotten, your teeth going to fall out, and you're going to get old, wrinkled, and die. We're not near as great as important as we seem to think. People think, boy, I'm the great so-and-so. We're not going to be here forever. We're just passing through. There was another generation here a few years ago. There'll be another generation after us, and it ain't going to be long. And so the worm has no beauty or is contemptible in this world. Not only that, the worms lie oblivious to great danger. They're just out there squirming around in the sand. They have no concept that the next step a man takes. They might not. Did you know most worms don't even know people exist? They've never seen one. If you could talk to worms, most of them in the world, if they have big worm conventions or something, somebody would get up and they said, listen, there's these big old things that's like 5,000 times taller than we are. They call them humans. Their feet are from here to the back door. To a worm back there, their feet would be that big. They say, oh, you're crazy. You just seen that on Sci-Fi Channel. No, I seen one. Well, most worms in the world never seen one, so they don't believe it. That's why most people don't believe in UFOs. They never seen one. But those worms would say, there ain't no such thing as people. But guess what? There is. Did you know most ants in the world have never seen a human being? The biggest majority of ants have never seen a person one time. And they get together and said, listen, Like my grandpa and them, they built a big ant hill one time, and this big old thing about 6 feet tall. We're only a quarter of a quarter of a quarter of a tenth of a thousandth of a centimeter, and this thing about 6 feet tall come along and took a big old foot and knocked the whole ant hill over. That's all. Oh, that's folklore. That's medieval junk. This old people had to believe in something, and they don't believe in humans. And so you better think about stuff like that. Eternity goes little just like it goes big. You know that, don't you? Eternity goes little just like it goes big. You know how you go forever and ever 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 big? You can go forever and ever 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 little. Watch. This ain't the message, but watch. The men will get this and the women will argue with it. Because women think more with just their feelings or emotion, and men more logically sometimes, and we need both. Watch. If it's, let's say it's 40 feet from here to that wall right there, which it is, right here, 40 feet to that wall. I can go 20 feet halfway. That's 20 feet now. I can go 10 feet halfway, and I'm still 10 feet from the wall. If I cut that in half, I'm 5.5 feet away. If I cut that in half, I'm 2 and 2, mathematician, something a little 2 and 3, a third or something like that. Give me time. Away from the wall. But anyway, my point is, if I cut that in half, I'm this close. And if I cut that in half, I'm this close. And if I cut that in half, I'm this close. And if I cut that in half, I'm this close. You can keep cutting that in half forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never touch that wall. Ladies say, you'll touch it sooner or later if you keep going. Not you just going halfway. Amen, men. Am I right? Say amen. Technically, I mean, you can go forever and ever and ever and never touch that wall if you just go halfway. Because I don't care how close you say, yes, you would. That's the way the women think. You would touch, if you keep going that way, you're going to touch it, Brother Dan. But technically, if you're only going halfway, you don't. So eternity goes little. I can see y'all going, Come on, men. Am I right? Raise your hand. Am I right? Raise your hand. Thank you. Am I wrong, ladies? Raise your hand. Am I wrong? Okay. That's the difference. Our brains are wired up different. Our brains are wired. You know, men and women think different, brother. Lord have mercy, do we think different. I mean, it's like one's on AM, one's on FM. I'll tell you one thing, somebody's bad wrong. And I think I know who it is. It might be us, I don't know. But somebody's off. But you know what? These worms, they're down there and they just squirm around in the dirt and hope somebody don't step on them. That's the way we are. We're down here, you know, and we walk around big and tall. We have no idea the danger we're in. We have no idea just how easy our life can go. Coming down that interstate tonight from Nebo, I was this close from death all the way down here. Tractor and trailers on side. We don't even realize just how quick we can be took out of this world. This my little heart right here inside my chest could just stop beating, right? I'd fall over here on this floor. It happens every day to thousands and thousands of people, much younger than me. People in their 20s, people in their 30s having a heart attack. You can be the healthiest person in here, 17 years old, and have a brain aneurysm, a blood vessel can burst in your head and die just like that. We're frail. We're frail. We're just human. Don't ever get to the place you think, I'm big and tough and I can do what I want to, and ain't nobody going. You better watch that kind of attitude. You can go out of here just like that. You better keep a humble heart. You better keep a right spirit toward God, because any little thing can just take you right out of here. I heard about this guy over in Tennessee, and he's over there, and he had a hair growing out of his nose. You know how sometimes you got this weird hair come growing out of your nose like that? And it was growing out like that, and instead of cutting it, I know this is a gross illustration, but he goes like this, and he goes, bing, and pulls that hair out of his nose by the roots. And it goes in there and gets infected, and it went up into his brain. 3 days, he's dead. Killed him by jerking out. That's how big and bad and tough we are. I heard about this guy who went out into a storm, and he went out like this, and it was raining. And he went out and took his fist up like that, and he cussed God. And he cussed God, and he said, I'm blankety blank. I dare you, if you're up there, strike me with lightning. And you know what the Lord did? Nothing.
He wouldn't give him the privilege of doing that. God ain't going to waste no good bolt of lightning on some fool like that. He could take him out a whole lot easier than that. So he goes out to gather a load of sticks to put on the fire, and a spider comes out and bites him on the hand, and he's dead in a few hours. That's how quick you can be gone. One of them brown recluse. One of them aneurysms. Listen, there ain't a person in here tonight knows you're going to be alive by tomorrow morning. Not a one of us. You better make sure you're aware. Now listen, them people out there partying tonight, them people out there at those concerts tonight, stupid concerts, country music, you know, oh, I'm so cool, I'm so hip, I'm important. Listen, you could be dead and in hell before tomorrow morning and have not even realized how you got there. A worm is a small thing. It may spoil. You can destroy it just like that. So with man, you're open to many dangers. Sin and Satan. A small thing may destroy you just like that. A little bitty cancer cell inside your body, just a little thing, begins to grow, and then you die with cancer. Like I said, your heart quits beating. A car accident on the way home. A worm cannot deliver itself from its enemies. Man cannot fight against disease. Although sometimes you feel like you can do this and that. A worm sometimes, you ever seen a worm, they'll go down into a hole in the ground trying to find refuge. All you do is take that hoe and brother dig it out like that and throw it in your bucket. He just thinks he can get away. You can't get away. You can't get away from sin and Satan and the devil in this world. He'll track you down. The devil is after you. He's on your trail. A worm is a creature that is prey to the fowls of heaven. They're prey, P-R-E-Y. And these birds fly over like this, and them birds can see a worm down there, way down on the ground, and they just go down there, get it just like that, just swoop it off. And tell you, that's a picture of demonic spirits. You know, them crows and them big old birds in the Bible are pictures of demons in the Bible. I got these old crows that stay in my yard, and boy, I tell you, they come around my house. I went up the driveway the other day, and there's about 5 crows in my front yard, and I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. Get out of here. And one of them things started flying off like that. I don't really believe crows are demons, but I believe there's stuff just like that flying around, coming around your house, and coming around our church, and coming around. Listen, I believe there's demonic spirits. There's seducing spirits. Ain't no doubt in my mind. You can hear them talking. You can feel them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Nod your head. You'll think the craziest, wildest, craziest thoughts. I heard a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Danny, when I get down to pray, he said, I have the most wicked, ungodly thoughts that I've ever had in me trying to pray. He said, what is that? I said, that's the devil and those demon spirits. They put that stuff in your head. I'm telling you, that's the way a worm is. They're helpless to the fowls of the air. They're hopeless unless somebody protects them. Now I'm going to give you some worms that I've known, and then we'll go and compare these to people. Some are great, some are small. Some of them are 2.5 centimeters long. Others have been found to be 20 feet. Some of those worms that get inside you, I'll mention them in a minute, that get in your intestines. You ever heard people say he's got worms? They found worms inside people 20 feet long. Tapeworms, that's what it is. That's bad, man. I'd hate to think I got a 20-foot worm living inside me. But some of you do, probably. Long as from here to the wall, round and around and around and around and around, just living inside you. Let's think about that just for a minute. First of all, there's the dunghill worm. The dunghill worm. These are muck worms. They live in nothing else but the slime and filth of this world. Worms that actually live in sewer in places where sewer island, just big old piles of sewage and worm and manure. Dung. That's what that is in the Bible. There's one word they didn't update in the new versions to the modern day word. Wonder why? Listen, and brother, I'm telling you something. Listen, you know what? The Bible talks about these worms, dunghill worms. Listen, they're muckworms. Then you say, Brother Danny, how filthy. The filthy. Go out to the, have you ever been out to the trash dump? And you go out there and it stinks awful. And I was old rotten food. And I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, it's horrible. There's worms live in that. And they love it. That's them bathhouses out in San Francisco. That's all the people that in Hollywood, the pornography, and all the filth, and the filth, and the homosexuality, and the lesbianism, and all the wickedness and the sin in Las Vegas. You say, well, listen, they may have on a pair of linen breeches like I got. They may have on a silk tie like I got. But I'm telling you, it's filth, and it's muck in the sight of God. That's a muckworm, brother. Dunghill worm. And then they wallow in their filthy lust. Partying. Sleeping with a different person every weekend. Shacking up. It's like worms living in a dunghill to God. That's the way He sees it. It stinks in His nostrils. Then there's the carrion worms. They're rotten in putrefying flesh. Low down and crooked. They're canker worms. Canker worms ruin flowers and trees. They'll get on you, you'll plant pretty flowers out in the yard, and they'll get in them and start eating them up. And you'll have holes in your pretty flowers and in your tree. They'll destroy trees if they get around them enough. They're called canker worms. They're these people that go around and tear up the garden of the Lord's house. I've seen a lot of them. I've been in a lot of churches where there's always some old canker worm. I mean, somebody's always stirring up trouble. And did you hear this? And did you hear that? And I don't think this, and I don't think that. And he ought to this, and they ought to that. And everybody's got problems with me. And nobody's right with God but me in this church. And I'm going to straighten out everybody in here. It don't matter what I did. I just ain't going to let nobody else sin. I preached the other night in revival. And I said, usually in every church, there's about two women in every church that feel like God has called them to make sure nobody ain't getting away with nothing. You ever met them kind? I mean, they're in every church. I've been in a lot of churches. You ain't going to fool me on this stuff. Some of you women, you think it's your ministry to make sure nobody's getting away with nothing. And if you think they are, it drives you crazy, don't it? It just eats you alive to think somebody's getting away with something. And you'll tell it or die. Listen, you're a canker worm. You need to get your heart right. You need to quit eating holes in the leaves in God's garden. You need to be easy to get along with. You need to be loving and forgiving and right with God and scriptural and right, brother, and not be an old canker worm. And sir, listen, I'd rather own a meth lab and stand before God than I had to be somebody that stirs up trouble in the house of God and causes people to turn against each other and get their feelings hurt. That's a canker worm. Say amen right there. Go sell cocaine. Be a decent sinner. Quit tearing up God's garden. Say amen right there. That stupid computer. A bunch of people gets on there. On that nose butt. One woman will say this. Another woman will say that. I know a preacher right now. Some of the women in the church got on Nosebook and started saying stuff about the preacher's wife. Well, I don't think she ought to have done this, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. And then the other one come in. And of course, the preacher's wife sees it. She gets her feelings hurt. She tells him she's crying. He said, honey, let's go to church. She said, I ain't going to church. All the women hate me. That's a wicked way to do, brother. And brother, she didn't want to go to church. That preacher resigned his church. He called me and asked me what to do about it. I said, don't do it. Stay there and fight it out. Get up and preach. Don't you let some woman run you off. You stand for God. And brother, you know what he done? He resigned his church and moved to another state. It's been over a year and a half now. He called me the other day. He said, Brother Danny, I should have listened to you. He said, I wish I'd have done it. I wish I'd have stayed and fought. He said, it was a mistake for me to leave. And I tell you, when you got worms in your garden, you just spray it and put that dust on it or whatever and preach the devil out of here. And brother, clean up our garden like God wants it to be. Say amen right there. And then there's hookworms. Hookworms. That's got a bad sound. There are parasites that cause diseases in humans. Hookworms. Why do they call them hook? Like Dr. Hook. Like the drug dealer gets you hooked. Did you know what? Somebody give you your first drug, they say, here, smoke this, and it's free. Or here, take this pill, and it's free. Or this boy to you girls, he'll buy you something to drink. You know why a boy buys a girl a drink? He said, here, drink this beer. You girls are so dumb, you don't even realize, you think he cares about me. He bought me a drink. The reason he brought you a drink, you nut, is to loosen you up so he can take advantage of you. Amen? Honestly, if you think guys buy you stuff because they like you, you really, really are a dumb girl. Hey, listen, if a man gives you money, he's got something up his sleeve somewhere. I got a message I'm working on for youth camp on how to find the right kind of boyfriend. And boy, is it going to be a wild one. And one of the points is going to be, I'll give you a little preview, girls, for all you girls going to be out. You know how to find the right boyfriend? Find you a boy that helps ugly people. I'll let you wait till camp to think about that. If a pretty girl has a flat tire, there'll be 10 guys stop to help her. Ain't they nice? Poor ugly girl has a flat tire. Well, that's tough luck, man. You see, they don't care about you. It's what you can give them. That's plain, and it's going to be a lot plainer at camp, so just get up, just brace yourself. Lord, give me that the other day. And I've been writing it down. It's burning in my heart. Amen. Amen. You say, well, ain't you going to preach on how to find the right girlfriend? No, I have no clue. Listen, some word I know. You better just both ways pray and ask God to help you. Ain't that right? Amen. You say, well, I married the wrong one, preacher. Well, guess what? If you're married, they ain't the wrong one no more. They're the right one. The second you get married, they're the right one. They might have been wrong before you was married, but if you're married now, they're the right one. All right, hookworms. They'll get you hooked on dope. They'll get you hooked on drugs. They'll get you hooked on alcohol. They'll ruin your mind and doom your soul and take you forever. Them tapeworms get in your intestines. Then there's the leech. A leech is a bloodsucker. He's like a vampire. He's like Twilight, man. He'll suck the blood out of you. Suck the life out of you. You ever heard of anyone like that? Some of them leeches will suck the life right out of you. Amen? Feed on decaying life. Listen, brother, high school kids, they think, boy, we're having life. Listen, them leeches, I don't know if I've ever even seen I don't think a leech has ever been on me. I've been stung by a jellyfish, but I don't think I ever leech. Them leeches get on you, boy, they're like a big tick, and they'll start sucking the blood. You know how a tick gets on a dog? And when a tick gets on a dog, he's real little and dark brown. Buddy, you go back and look at him in a few days. He's big old fat thing, full of blood. Like that little old boy, his mama come and hollered at him one day, and she said, hey boy, where you at? He said, I'm down here in the basement. She said, what are you doing down in that basement? He said, I'm eating grapes. She said, where are you getting them grapes? He said, off the dog. That's the way it is. Listen, brother, let me tell you something, brother. That's a leech. That's a leech. And there are people in this world that ain't nothing but a leech. They just mooch off of you and take advantage of you and go. I know people that just go from church to church trying to bum money, won't be faithful to God, won't even live right, trying to suck your life out of everybody and everything. Take advantage. Don't be a leech, brother. Don't be that kind. I'm getting to the good time. I'm getting to the good kind in just a second. There's the glow worm. A glow worm is somebody that sees you like a lightning bug. And they glow. And they'll deceive you because they seem to be what they are not. They're a hypocrite at church. You thought they were fire when you first saw them, but it's actually just a glow worm. This glow worm, when you see them, you say, oh my goodness, how bright and shiny. But it's really just a fake glow, like a lightning bulb. I know a lot of people like that. Well, you see them at church and they're hallelujah, praise the Lord, and everything great. But as soon as they get out there at work, they're a completely different person, live a completely different lifestyle, everything. I'm going to tell you something, you glow worm, you hypocrite, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. yourself. Listen, we ought to be the... I don't mow my grass in a suit and tie and all. I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about I ought to live the same kind of life out there as I do in here. Our walk ought to match our talk. Say amen right there. I mean, I think you ought to wear your best to church. I do. I think women ought to wear a dress. I think men ought to wear long pants. I think you ought to wear a tie, brother, if you can afford it. I do. I think you ought to look your very best. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your lifestyle, the way you live, the words you say, everything you say out there ought to match what we believe in here. Not just a glow worm. There's a good one. The silkworm. The silkworm. Did you know that silk is the strongest natural mate? It has a beauty. They call it the queen of fiber. Silk. That's what a tie is made out of. I guess this is a good one. You get them cheap ones, you know, they're just made out of polyester. Yep, 100% silk. And certain silkworms make that stuff. And they say that inch for inch, pound for pound, that some kinds of that silk is as strong as steel. We was out there working on the porch this week. Brother Jim here, Danny, and some of you other guys, David, John, some of y'all others were here helping this week, and Buddy was, let's that Stephen, we was up there, and they was putting Jason, Brian, we was putting that steel up there, John, we was putting it up there. Man, that thing, stuff's heavy, man. We got Todd's backhoe down there and lifted up them trusses, and I was up there on top of the church, you know, and boy, I feel anything. I thought, man, I sure would hate one of these things to fall on me. That stuff's strong and it's heavy. But did you know that silk compared to steel is just as strong? That's amazing. That's amazing. In other words, if you had a piece of silk that's that thick, these things like that, you can't break that stuff. It's stout, and a silkworm makes them. They're stronger than some kinds of steel. It can be stretched, but will return to its original shape. You know what you can do with this tie? Now, you can't do it with cotton. You can wad this thing up like that right there. Wad up like that right there, and brother, in about 10 minutes or so, it'll be just flattened right out again. And that's the way a real Christian is. You can beat him, you can beat him up, you can knock him down, but you go check back with him a little bit, he'll get straightened out. I mean, a man that's right with God, a woman that loves God, listen, the world, sometimes I feel like the world just does me like that, you know, just wads me up, and just bending up like that, but then in a few days, I'm back up again, straightened back out. You know why? I'm a silkworm, amen? That's right. You don't want to be a tapeworm, you don't want to be a carrion worm, you don't want to be a leech, you don't want to be one of them fake, you want to be silk, made out of the right stuff. Go back, stronger than steel, live right, serve God, and if you get wadded up, get straightened back out. Say amen. One way you know you're really saved is not that you'll never get into a mess, but if you do, you're going to get out of it. One way or the other, God will get you out of it if you're made out of the right stuff. Let me say one more and I'll be through. I'll talk a little bit more about that silkworm. Young silkworms, this stuff resists wrinkles. You can't hardly get it to wrinkle, real silk. And that's something. The Bible said we're without spot or wrinkle. Young silkworms are put on trays and kept spotless to prevent disease. When they have a bunch of little baby silkworms, they put them like in little trays and it's kept spotless so they won't catch a cold or something. You know what that is? Sunday school classes. All these little kids, Miss Phyllis's class. Tracy's class, and Miss Alicia, and Sherry's, and Shaughnessy, and Miss Vicky's, and Brother Derek, they put those little ones in them little trays to keep them free from disease and raise them up. And you know what I read? I read that those little tiny silkworms eat almost continually and soon grows to 70 times its original size. Its body has 12 sections and 3 pairs of legs. That's how I get so much done. I've got 6 legs. You just can't see them. But say, Brother Danny, he's over here, he's over there, he's over there, he's over there. I've got 12 sections and 6 legs, brother. You know who you can get to do the work in the church? The busiest people in the building are silkworms. Like them, have you ever seen a 1,000-legged worm? Where'd that come? Mommy said, there's a 1,000-legged worm. Now, I don't really know if they got 1,000 legs. Huh? Millipede. Centipede. Millipede. A millipede. Somehow or another, they get in your bathtub or something. I don't know where they come from. How do they get in your bathtub? They come up through you. Pipes? Where's them things come from? You just look and there it is. I don't know if they really have 1,000 legs. That'd be 500 on each side. Brother, you could go somewhere like that, couldn't you? 500 legs on both sides of you. I hate to buy a pair of shoes for everyone, all of them. But you know what? And then there's gummy worms. They ain't real. They're fake. You just rot your teeth. That's all they're good for. That's why I'm telling you, you tell them boys, when they come up to you and say, hey, baby, you want to go to a bar? Say, you're a gummy worm. You jump in the lake, swallow a snake, come back up with a bellyache. You're not going to rot my teeth, boy. Get out of here. Not these silkworms, they grow and they get stronger and stronger. And that's what we need to be. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Amen. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Some worms I have known.